Genesis chapter 41 in your Bibles this morning. Genesis chapter 41. We'll begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to the dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. And he put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Don't ever name your kid that. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. In the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. When Joseph stepped from his prison cell into the presence of the most powerful man on earth, it must have been an amazing sight for him. On the throne was Pharaoh, a man who was worshipped in Egypt as Ra, the sun god, a man whose functions were every bit as much religious as they were political. A man I would picture as having keen, penetrating eyes, bare, muscular arms, a regal carriage about him, and a proud look. A man wearing the double crown that for 1,000 years had stood for the union of Upper and Lower Egypt. On his imperial brow was the insignia of 2 lands, the falcon and the cobra. In one hand, the crook of Upper Egypt. In the other hand, the flail of Lower Egypt. He sat before Joseph, arrayed in a long fluted skirt made of priceless Egyptian linen. He had golden sandals on his feet, uncomfortable but impressive. The steps to the throne would have been marble. A live lion would lay crouched at Pharaoh's feet. The pillars in the throne room would resemble tall lotus plants. Their stately columns would picture religious scenes of Egypt's history. Behind Pharaoh would stand slaves with expensive ostrich feather fans richly trimmed with gold. Guards would guard around the walls, which were ablaze with the exploits of war. Around Pharaoh would stand his ministers of war and state, and before Pharaoh stood a young Hebrew slave named Joseph, freshly shaven, his face very pale from the years he had spent in prison, with an ill-fitted robe tossed hastily around his form. He stood before Pharaoh because Pharaoh had a dream, a frightening dream, of seven skinny cows eating seven fat cows, and seven skinny ears of corn eating seven fat ears of corn. And there in his court was a butler who had been thrown into prison at the whim of Pharaoh and later brought out and returned to his office. In prison, Joseph had interpreted his dream correctly. And now the butler remembers Joseph and tells Pharaoh of him. So there stands Joseph, giving credit only to God. Joseph says, "Here's what I think you should do. During the seven plenteous years, lay up 20% against the seven lean years. Appoint a man, give him authority over the process." Pharaoh looked at Joseph. "Who is more suited for the task than you? You will be the second in command in Egypt." Joseph would have remembered that many years ago, God had given him a dream. And for the last 13 years, through crooks and turns and tragedies, God had led him in an incredible way to see his dreams come true. When Joseph became prime minister, he became the chief officer of state. His chariot had personalized plates, Egypt number two. He lived in the gilded suburbs in a mansion. His life was one of opulence and power. Pharaoh placed a ring on his hand that had all the financial authority of the kingdom. His linen clothes would be impeccable. He was given the hand of a most important priest's daughter to marry. It's quite a trip from the pastoral shepherd's land of Israel to prime minister of Egypt. And as Joseph stood on his balcony that overlooked the Nile River, his mind had to go back to the dreams that God had given him, and now they had all come true. So I have some thoughts. First of all, obviously, Joseph had a dream. Before your dreams can come true, you must have a dream. Success or failure in your personal life has a great deal to do with your dreams. You can call them goals or a vision, But there is no success in your personal life without them. 13 years ago, as a 17-year-old boy, Joseph had a dream that his sheaf stood up and all the others bowed down to him. And another dream that the sun and moon and stars all bowed down to him. He's a 17-year-old kid in Judea having dreams like that. Sometimes when young people have great dreams, older people look down on them and laugh. Don't listen to them, kids. Don't listen. Three things strike me about Joseph's dreams. First of all, they were implausible because he was so young. When I was 17, I didn't know anything. I didn't even suspect anything. But I was a master at knock-knock jokes. And to have a dream like Joseph's, that the world would bow down to you, but impossible dreams come true and implausible things happen. I love this. In 12 glorious days at the 1980 Olympic Winter Games in Lake Placid, New York, 20 young men barely shaving gathered from college teams and club hockey teams around the United States to form our hockey team under Coach Herb Brooks. We're given no chance. Facing them were the Eastern European teams that were trained and supported by the state and a Russian team that could have competed in the NHL. The American kids had no chance. But if you were privileged to be there when our kids faced the Russian team and somehow, some way, all their dreams came true. They won 4-3. And Al Michaels' iconic response, "Do you believe in miracles?" And then the wild pandemonium and people all over the United States crying for joy. And I was one of them. Second of all, the dreams were from God. It was God stepping into this young man's life and saying, "I have something very, very special for you." Third, it touched me that Joseph became identified by his dreams just before his brothers sold him. As they saw him coming across the pasture, they said, "Behold, the dreamer cometh." He became identified by his heartbeat. After I was saved, I began to have stirrings in my heart about pastoring. I thought they were crazy. Not me. Backward and shy and insecure. But God put a dream in my heart about a local church where the Bible would be revered and preached, where people would love God and love each other, and I would get to be a part of it all. But I was young when God put the dream there. But God doesn't see us the way we are then. He sees us with how He can affect us and have His hand upon us and do with us in our life. That's how God sees us all. Someone has to believe the dreams of God. Someone has to believe that out there, there are things that God can do with your life if you will love Him and serve Him and be obedient to Him. Second of all, Joseph's dreams sustained him. If you have a dream, you can get through the troubles of life. You know why people crawl inside a liquor bottle when trouble comes? Their dreams are no bigger than the bottle. They think they can drown their sorrows, but they find out their sorrows can swim. The only thing that Joseph took to Egypt was his dream. Arthur Ashe, the great Wimbledon champion, caught AIDS through a blood transfusion and died. He was asked before he died, "Do you ever get angry with God and ask, why me?" Arthur Ashe said this, "Well, when I stood at center court at Wimbledon holding the championship trophy, I didn't then ask God, why me? But I should have." Job said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil also?" Dreams sustain you through trouble. Second of all, what about when sin beckons? Sister Potiphar, a beautiful but bored Egyptian woman, wanted Joseph. And Joseph said, "How can I do this great wickedness? God gave me a dream." Dreams don't come true from God if you fall in sin. A dream is something you want so badly, nothing will sidetrack you. Satan will always try to sidetrack you with every enticement, the pleasures of sin for a season. So how do you win? What are your dreams? To have a good marriage? To have the respect of your kids? To be a good friend, to be honored in church? What kind of a fool would you be to sell your dream? My marriage means too much to me. My kids think their dad is a good man. You mean too much to me. When sin beckons, your dreams will sustain you. And third, when you want to quit, you can go on because of your dreams. Last of all, Joseph's dreams came true. Why? Because Joseph was always faithful to God. He's one of a very few number in the Bible that not one sin is recorded against him. We know that he sinned because the Bible says that, but it's not recorded in this book, and so many good things about Joseph is recorded. Real faith changes everything. Second of all, Joseph always gave God the glory, always. Third, Joseph realized the plan of God. Let me tell you what God's plan for your life is. It's recorded in Scripture. First of all, His plan is for you to be saved. Second of all, His plan is for you to have assurance of your salvation, that no matter what happens, you're going to heaven. Third, His plan is for you to be baptized. Fourth, His plan is for you to be serving Him as a member of a local church. So let me ask you, are His dreams being realized in your life? Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for Joseph. Thank you for his faithfulness to you. Thank you for his love for you. And dear Father, you are so faithful to each one of us. You want to give us dreams and for those dreams to come true. And we are thankful that we can stand before you and say, oh God, thank you for the dream that you put in my life. Dear Father, I ask that you might speak to hearts this morning. If there's someone here, there's something that maybe you spoke to their heart years ago about, and you still want that dream to come true. Oh, Father, speak to that heart this morning. Father, if there's someone here that's not saved, you want everyone to be saved. So, dear Father, speak to that heart. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you, dear Father, for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation.